Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can be a part of it. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about freedom this month and the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. And it all goes back to what Jesus accomplished for us at the cross. And I'm going to read a couple of passages, first from the book of John and then in Romans chapter 8. And hopefully we can connect some dots as to just exactly what Christ's death accomplished for you and me. So we're going to start in verse 16 of chapter 3 of the Gospel of John. And we all know this verse. It's very powerful. But we're going to read a couple of other verses along with it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So here's the good news. And it starts with the love of God. God loves us. So God isn't up there angry at us. God has a love for his people, and he demonstrated his love for us and that he sent Jesus. And then this love was further demonstrated for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So all of this good news is motivated by the love of God. Jesus didn't change God's disposition towards you and me. He wasn't up there angry, and then Jesus interjected his good work, and then all of a sudden God changed his mind about us. No, God's love has always been there, and God's love motivated him to send Jesus into this world so that you and I could have life everlasting. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So Jesus isn't here to condemn us. He's here to save us. That's why he came into this world. And his Spirit is going around the world today, drawing people unto Jesus Christ and the new life, the eternal life, that is available through faith in him. So God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Now, whoever believes in him is not condemned. That's good news. So if you've believed in Jesus Christ, then you are not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So here's the deal. When Adam and Eve fell, they died spiritually, and they passed that spiritual condition on to all people. So when you and I were born into this world, we came into this world spiritually dead. We were dead men walking. Now, that's the condemnation that we were all under. That was the condemnation that was attached to each and every one of us. Now, God's love wants to undo that. And there's only one way to undo the condemnation that Adam and Eve brought to the entire human race. And that is through faith in Jesus Christ. When we believe in Jesus, when we believe in who he claimed to be and what he accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection, we go from death to life. So the condemnation was spiritual death. That is removed when we receive spiritual life, when we receive Christ life. Christ comes to live inside of us, and we are no longer under that condemnation of sin and death. Now, that's good news. So whoever believes is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Now, it's as clear as that. It's as black and white as that, as binary as that. We have a choice to remain dead or choose life through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul really addresses this whole discussion that Jesus had back in chapter 3 of the Gospel of John. And he expands on it and says, here's what's happened to you and me who believe in Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, that's good news. So that's just a repeat of what Jesus said in his gospel. Those who believe in the Son, they're not condemned. Those who reject the Son, they stand condemned already. So for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation. Now, here's the reason. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives us life has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So you and I came into this world, we were in bondage to the law of sin and death. We were trapped there with no way to free ourselves, no way to get out from underneath that condemnation. So God, motivated by his love, compelled by his love for you and me, sent Jesus into this world, and Jesus inhabited a body that God had prepared for him. And in this body, he became the sin offering that would redeem us from the curse of the law, that would redeem us from the law of sin and death. When we respond to that message, when we respond to that good news, the law of the Spirit who gives life sets us free from the law of sin and death, and we cross over from death to life. So that condemnation that was once upon us has been removed. Why? Because we're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. We're no longer spiritually dead. We have been made fully alive in Jesus Christ, and Christ has come to live inside of us. That is the freedom that we have as believers, and we will never go back. We will never go back to spiritual death. Once we've been made alive, we're alive forever. Why? Because our new spirits that have been made alive have been joined to Jesus Christ. And because Jesus lives forever, we're going to live forever. And our freedom is eternal. That is the good news of the gospel. Now, I want to talk a little bit about an upcoming conference that we have in September, September 6th and 7th. It's the Simply Grace Conference. It's right here in Lewisville, Texas. We have a wonderful venue. It's just really a great place to do a conference, and we want you to come and be a part of it. All the information on how you can register and come for the Simply Grace Conference is on our website at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Just click the events tab, and all the information is right there. I will say that seating is limited. So register early. We have a early registration price. That's $79. So come and join us. It's Friday night, September 6th, and Saturday through like 9 until like 3 in the afternoon, September 7th. So it's the Simply Grace Conference. Come and be a part of it. We would love to see you. This is going to be a powerful, powerful conference. You will walk away understanding what it means to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus and what it means to live the Christian life by grace through faith in Jesus. You will get a taste of this freedom that is yours in Christ, and you will never want to go back to life under the law. So come join us September 6th and 7th for the Simply Grace Conference right here in Lewisville, Texas. All the information is at basicgospel.net on the events tab. Well, we had some great questions that have come into us via our app. If you have not downloaded the Basic Gospel app, I encourage you to do so. It's available through the Apple Store and also through the Android Store. So whatever smart device you have, we have an app just for you. So go and download that. But here's a question Don sent to us through the app, and he's asking about temptation in heaven. Once this world has come to an end, there's a new heaven and new earth, will we be tempted in heaven? So he asks, will such a desire be out of the realm of possibility, or will the temptation still exist? I feel we won't even have the capacity in such a new glorified state. I certainly wish, as a believer in Christ, I could simply snap my fingers and all sins and temptations aren't even a thought. And so he asks, what are your thoughts on this particular question? Well, Don, I think that's a fantastic question. Now, what we see in the Bible is this, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, we see the eternal destiny of Satan and his band of demons, and also the beast, and all that axis of evil. And so in verse 10, we read this: and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So once that occurs, once that judgment of Satan occurs, and the beast and the false prophet, they are thrown into the lake of fire. And then there's the judgment of the dead, the great white throne judgment, and they're going to be thrown into that lake of fire as well. That's known as the second death. That's the eternal condemnation that they're going to experience. Why? Because they did not trust in Jesus Christ. And then in the next chapter, chapter 21 of Revelation, we see a new heaven and new earth, and we see a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And this new Jerusalem is going to be our dwelling place, and God is going to be at the center. And when that takes place, every aspect of who we are as believers in Christ is going to be brand new. So when you and I believe the gospel here and now, we cross over from death to life. We're made alive together with Christ. But that's a spiritual birth. So we're made new at our very core, in our spirits. And then God's spirit is joined to our human spirits. Now, we also see in the Bible that our minds right now are being renewed. So our minds can still think some of the same old stupid thoughts and entertain some of the worldly temptations and the fleshly desires, just like it did before we knew Christ Jesus. But God, through his Spirit and through the Word of God, is renewing our mind to align our minds with truth, the truth of what Christ has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, we know our bodies, they're going to a grave. These bodies are still subject to sin and death. These bodies are going to die. But we're going to get brand new resurrected bodies, just like Jesus did. When he was raised on that third day, he came out of that tomb in a resurrected body. So it's a body that will never die. So the mortal has put on immortality. The perishable has put on the imperishable. And that's going to happen for us. So we're going to be made new, spirit, soul, and body. Already new in the spirit, mind, emotion, and will, and body will all follow suit. We will be totally complete. Our salvation will be complete when we are absent from the body, present with him, living in this new Jerusalem with these new bodies of ours. And Christ is going to be in the center, just as he still will reside inside of us. So there's not going to be temptation in heaven. Satan is not going to be there. The lies that he thrust on mankind in the garden, those are going to be totally gone. So there will be no temptation. There would be nothing inside of us that could respond to that anyway, but it's not there. We're perfect in Christ. Christ is ruling and reigning in and through us, and so there will be no temptation at all. Now, Don, I certainly understand that desire to simply snap the fingers and all sins and temptations aren't even a thought here and now. But we live in this world, and this world is under the control of the prince of the power of the air. The ways of the world are against the ways of God, and we still have the desires of the flesh within these bodies. So we have these external forces tugging at us, tugging at our minds to try to draw us away from this new life that we have in Christ Jesus. But here's the good news. We're already dead to sin. That old man has been crucified in Christ. And faith simply recognizes that as true. We reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to Jesus Christ. And as we do, as we walk in the Spirit, as Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, we will not be gratifying the desires of the flesh. So God has already won the victory, and we can experience that victory as we simply walk by faith, trust, dependence in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting His grace to teach us to renounce worldly passions and ungodliness and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation as we wait for the blessed hope of the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So, Don, hope that helps. Thank you so much for your question. And on that topic, we have a fantastic resource. It's called Living Life on the Edge, and it is a resource that really deals with how to handle the temptations and the desires of the flesh that we encounter here in this world. It's a resource that will help you live in victory, and it's available to you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. So go to basicgospel.net. We have a big banner right on the homepage, Living Life on the Edge. Click that, follow all the instructions, and be sure to request your copy. So it's a CD for all you audio listeners. We have it in DVD, so you'll get both of those. And then we have a booklet called Living Life on the Edge, something that you can read and pass on to other people. So that's our resource for the month, Living Life on the Edge. It is a wonderful tool. I think it will be so beneficial to each and every one of you as you learn by the teaching of the grace of God what it looks like to renounce worldly passions and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation. Well, we had a great question from a YouTube listener last week. We didn't get to address that, and I wanted to address it today. And he asked, what does the number three mean in the Bible? What is the power of three in the Bible? And I really want to talk about that in terms of God Himself. God is a Trinity. We don't see that word Trinity in the Bible, but we do see God revealed in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we see in the book of Revelation as all bow down, they worship and they cry out, holy, holy, holy. So the word three, the number three, is really a number of emphasis. It means kind of completeness. It means the full scope of something. So when we think about God and the fact that He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, we see that God in action on our behalf handles everything that we need so that we can trust Him in His entirety. We can trust the faithfulness of the Father. So when the Father promises, He carries it out. We see that in the New Covenant. under the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, God and Israel made a covenant together. God had his part, and the people of Israel had their part. Well, God was faithful to his promises in that old covenant, but the people of Israel didn't live up to their end of the bargain. Now, in the new covenant, it's all on God's shoulders. He made an oath, he made a promise, and he's going to deliver on that promise. So we're going to experience the faithfulness of the Father, and that faithfulness of the Father is carried out through the grace of the Son. So Jesus Christ died in our place. Jesus Christ took our sins upon himself. Jesus Christ redeemed us through his precious blood, and then he was raised alive so that you and I can experience eternal life. So we're saved by grace. What does that mean? Well, it means that we have been made alive together with Christ. We've crossed over from death to life. So we have the grace of the Son, the faithfulness of the Father, experienced through the grace of the Son, and we also have the power of the Spirit. It's the power of the Spirit that makes all of this happen as far as our day-to-day lives are concerned. So that's the power of three as it relates to the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. He has sovereignty, and we can trust him in every aspect of life. That's good news. And why is that good news to us? Because we're made up of a Trinity as well, a spirit, a soul, and a body. And God, in his grace and mercy and faithfulness and power, makes us whole as a human being in spirit, soul, and body. Well, thank you for that question. We certainly appreciate it. One last question on today's broadcast. This comes from Brian, and this is about witnessing to a friend who is a Jehovah Witnesses. Now, there's some interesting events that are happening. He says recently some bad events transpired in his friend's church that involved false accusations, along with severe personal rejection. And these events have caused severe depression and low self-worth in my friend. I tried to suggest to keep his eyes on God and the good things that are in his life, telling him about when I am down, I look to Jesus. Now, I've heard my friend say that he feels empty inside and not good enough. So my question is, what can I do to minister to my friend and help lead him to salvation? Well, he's coming to truth, Brian. He's recognizing the emptiness of himself apart from Jesus Christ. He is empty, and the reason he's empty is because he's dead spiritually. He's not good enough. Why? Because his righteousness is as filthy rags. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So how you can minister to him is deliver the gospel to him. Tell him about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, Brian, your friend does not believe that Jesus is God. They have rewritten the Word of God, especially in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They've changed that to say, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. So they deny the deity of Christ. So you may want to start at John 1:1 and just share what your Bible has to say, and then deliver to him the gospel of Jesus Christ. What he needs is to hear that Jesus died to take away his sins, that Jesus was raised so that he could experience eternal life, and then come to that point where the gospel moves him to confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in his heart that God raised him from the dead. So, Brian, we hope that helps, and we certainly thank all of you for being a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. We'll be back tomorrow. Andrew Farley will be here joining Bob Davis. You'll certainly want to tune in tomorrow. Again, Basic Gospel is listener-supported. Go to our website, basicgospel.net, and come join the Basic Gospel team.